Good morning. I have some good news for you. It's supposed to be the 40s this week. Not today, so don't leave yet. So stay for at least an hour or so. Maybe we'll be here for two or three. Well, anyway, just stay. And but supposed to get up. Someone told me 52 on Wednesday. I wish I knew the person's name so you could, you know, check with the person. After Wednesday, it only gets up to 48. But anyway. Spring is in the air, is it? Yes, yes. It's always good to be with you, folks. And I sense your love for the Lord Jesus. I sense your direction and so forth. And it's always an encouragement to be with you. How many of you are in the genealogy and ancestry thing? How many of you have searched your... No one? Wow, I'm surprised. Because that seems to be the hot item, people searching their family histories and so forth. And I'm sure it can be very, very interesting. But you can find, you can uncover, you can dig up, and you can find some things about your family history that may be somewhat embarrassing. And you may not want to share. Well, let's move on. I told my son one time that I was developing this message. He said, Bob, did you share about your ancestry? I said, he said, Dad, I said, well, not really. But I know I had an uncle that was a wonderful uncle. We used to, he lived in Canada. And when we used to visit him, my brother, he would always, when we leave, he would take a dollar bill and tear it in half, give half to my brother and half to me. Yeah, I'll never forget that. But he was in the liquor business. Let's put it that way. And I remember one time he wanted to evidently build a still in my home. We live in Buffalo, New York. And my mother said, no way. And I can remember one time that evidently he went before U.S. Congress for... he took the Fifth Amendment and all that, and I remember that, hearing that on radio. My brother told me one time when he visited him up in Canada that in his bedroom on the dresser was a German Luger. And one time, evidently, he used to take liquor across Lake Erie, evidently, and sell it. And one time, when he was living in Canada, one time his car exploded in his driveway. Evidently the mob, he wasn't cooperative enough with them. I can remember when my mother passed away, he came. And a police officer said to him by name, what are you doing here? And so that was a history, our ancestry. Now don't publish that, please. I hope you invite me back again. Don't say, we don't want him again because look at his family tree. Anyway. You know, when we look at the church, there's several words in the scriptures that describe, identify God's people. One word is the word church. And it means the assimilation or integration between the Jew and the Gentile. Between a Jew and a Gentile who became Christians. They became one family. And the Bible calls that church. Another word is building. It says, in him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of that building. Another term is body. And when we think of the human body, we think of the unity and how different parts of the body functions and cooperates. And at this church, you have different gifts, different experiences, but you're one body. Amen? And to use those gifts and abilities and to grow together, as it were, as a congregation. Also, the word to identify God's people is the word household. And I like that term. We don't hear that too often, referring to Christians. But it says in the Bible, fellow citizens and members of God's household, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone, God's household. We might call it today, one commentator said, the extended family. I like that. This is God's extended family. Amen? We are the household. I love that description of God's people. Household. Here we go again. How many of you at Draper Baptist Church, when you did your search of your family history, as I did, how many of you found black sheep? And look around. Are there any black sheep here? Oh, I wish this pulpit was at that exit. And you know, I feel kind of captivated at this end. But anyway, are there any black sheep here? Think carefully. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 through 11. Listen. It says, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be conceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Here at Draper Baptist Church, do we have any black sheep? Do we have any that would fit that list in the past? Sexually immoral, idolaters and adulterers, homosexuality, thieves, greedy, drunkards, swindlers. At the age of 21, I was an alcoholic. I was drinking. I've been that list of black sheep, so to speak. Are there any here? Look around. Some of you may know each other pretty well. Do we have a black sheep? Probably lots of them. But the very next verse says, as such were, past tense, some of you. Amen? But such were some of you. But you were washed. Wow. You were sanctified or made holy, set apart. You were justified before a holy God. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Wow. I remember many years ago in our living room, my wife and I were there, and there was a woman sitting on the couch. I was able to share the gospel with her that night. As she prayed, as she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior, I will never forget the first words out of her mouth after she prayed. She said, I feel so clean. Wow. But so some of you were that list that Paul gives. You're not proud of it. You may be somewhat even embarrassed with it, but that was you. Amen? But don't forget verse 11. But you are washed. You are sanctified. You are justified. How deep is the Father's love? And so you're saying that. I was thinking about this list. Can God's love reach the adulterer? Amen. Can God's love reach the drunkard? Yes, I can testify to that. Can God's love reach to the homosexual? How deep is the love? And you know your history. You know your journey. And there are what I call good sinners and what I call bad sinners. But what they have in common is they're sinners. Amen? And I hope we recognize how deep is the love of God for for you. Amen? And I hope you never forget what your life was before. Don't dwell on it, but I hope you never forget what God has done for you. Well, he speaks here in Ephesians, the church. He is talking also about individual Christians in that church. And we'll get to that in a moment. He's only talking about the church and the whole body. Paul's talking specifically about you and me and others individually that comprise the church. I'll never forget, she said, "I feel so clean." I don't know her history, but those were the very first words of her mouth. Wow. Wow. There's a wonder of sunset at evening. The wonder at sunrise I see. But the wonder of wonders that thrills my soul is the wonder that God loves me. Oh, the wonder of it all. The wonder of it all. Just to think that God loves me. George Beverly Shea wrote that many years ago. The wonder of it all. Ephesians, the book, is about the church. Corporately, what it is, unity and the spiritual gifts, and assigned leadership, apostles, evangelists, and shepherds. Corporately, but it's also about what it's composed of, individually, of individual Christians. And that's where the rub sometimes comes, doesn't it? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sexuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ," Paul says, "assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him as the truth is in Jesus. Then look at verse 22, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, the way you used to live, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self created after likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness." The metaphor he's using here is clothes. He says, take off your old clothes and put on the new clothes. I would say to you, this boy, how often do you change your clothes? Spiritually, put off the old clothes. Amen? And I know sometimes you might say, the Christian life is, I sometimes feel, Bob, I take two steps forward and one step back. Press on. Take off the old and put on the new. Your life is to be different. Let me share with you first in verse 17 through 19 what your life, what my life was before you met Christ. And this also describes the unbeliever today. It says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, walk in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves over up to sexuality, greedy to every kind of impurity. What was your life beforehand? My life before BC, before Christ? Number one, your lifestyle. Self-centered emptiness. Amen? If I was describing the unbeliever, and I hope I don't sound like being judgmental, and I hope I don't think I'm using too wide of a brush, and society and culture pushes it, is self-centeredness. If it feels good, do it. You deserve it. And although there's a sense of politeness, a sense of formality, and so forth, but each of us knows that behind all of it is who's number one but that person. Amen? Self-centeredness. Now, he says, and walk as the Gentiles do, the fertility of their minds. Resolve everything on basis of what he or she thinks. I've often said of the Ten Commandments, there's only one that we really break. It's the first one. Thou shalt know the gods before me. And we take him off the throne, as it were, and we put another God on that throne. And who is that other God we put on that throne but me? Ourselves. Lifestyle, self-centered emptiness, the ultimate characteristic of our day. Secondly, ignorant of the truth. It says they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardness of their heart. They're ignorant of the truth, but listen carefully. It's a willful darkness. In Romans 1, it says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Don't we see the school system? Don't we see it in politics? Don't we see it at the workplace? Corruption, one form or another? It says here, man is suppressing the truth. What does it mean to suppress? It means to push down, to push away. I think of suppressing a fire, or smothering a fire. It says here, who suppress the truth, their minds. Another characteristic, BC, shamelessness. They have become callous and given themselves up to sexuality, greedy, to practice every kind of impurity. They give themselves up to the pursuit of pleasure of any kind. In my life, it was alcohol. Began when I was 17 years old. And you would say, Bob, my birthday's next week. Let's celebrate. I said, let's do it. And by the time I was 21, I was drinking 3-4 nights every week. And when the military took it away from it all, I'm thankful that a week later, someone witnessed to me about Jesus Christ. They become callous. They have become callous. They have become to a point in their behavior where they have no feelings. Nothing affects their act of behavior. They live shamelessly. If you cut yourself for the truth of God, you have no standards. Amen? If you cut yourself away from God, you have no morals. You see, don't we, our society, there's really no standards. We're just becoming more and more individually and corporately and nationwide more and more corrupt. And we know the outcome of it. Judges tells us every man doeth what he thinks is right in his own eyes. Let's move on. Paul moves on. This book of Ephesians, he said, that's what your life was before, B.C. But this is what your life ought to be now. He said, now this I say and testify that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do. And this involves three areas. One, put away your former lifestyle. Number two, think differently. It said, be renewed in the spirit of your minds in Romans. I love Philip's translation, Romans 12:2. He says, don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold, but let God remold your minds from within so that you may prove and practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all of his demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity. Paul says, don't let the world squeeze you into its own mold. And believe me, it has a mold. Amen? It changes every so often. Every 10 years or so, it might change. So it looks more fashionable, but it's the same thing over and over again. Just repackage. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. The teenagers today at school, they're really not much different than you and I were as teenagers. They would say, Mom and Dad, the day I live is nothing like the day you live. It's been wrapped differently. But it's still the same motivation, the same purpose, the same product is produced. Don't let the world squeeze you. Todd Fitch teaches at Wellsboro. And he said this in class. Our thinking influences our choices. Our choices determine our behavior. Our behavior forms our habits. Our habits impact the rest of our lives. How true. Society says to you and me, let your heart be your guide. Even to teenagers, amen? The Bible says, let your mind be your guide. Let your mind determine your behavior. Society says, let your heart, your feelings, your emotions. If it feels good, what right does anybody have to tell you that it may be wrong? The Bible says, God says, let your mind be your guide. And that's why we need to get into God's Word, amen? And study God's Word for those principles and lessons that we see there. And when we find ourselves in situations, let your mind be your guide. Remember, it says, in the fertility of their minds, that's where it all began. Thirdly, put on the new self, a different lifestyle. Let me share with you two exhortations about putting off and putting on. Number one, take it seriously. Take it seriously. Wilbur Reese says sarcastically, he said this, I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep. Just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of him to make me love a black man or pick beets with migrants. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not a new birth. I want a pound of eternal in a paper bag. I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Chuck Swindoll said, that's it. Our inner self doesn't want to dump God entirely. Just keep him at a comfortable distance. $3 worth is sufficient. A sack full, nothing more. Just enough to keep my guilt level below the threshold of pain. Just enough to guarantee escape from eternal flames. I hope there's no one here this morning. If you are a Christian, I hope there's no one here this morning that you bought $3 worth of God. Amen? Take it seriously. Paul would say, put off the old clothes and continually put on the new clothes. A second exhortation I'll give to you is don't stumble. Don't stumble. One man said to his friend, say, you look depressed. What are you thinking about? My future was a quick answer. What makes your future look so hopeless? My past. Some people think that the future is not very good because of what they have done in the past. As a Christian, don't let the old life cling to you. Don't let the old life disturb you. Don't let the old life become obsessed in your mind. But rather think how deep is the love of God for you. Amen? Don't stumble. Don't stumble. Past sins, mistakes, regrets, painful experiences. So be it. God loves you as much as he could possibly love you. Amen? Whether you are a good sinner or a horrible sinner, he loves you. Amen? Don't stumble. Don't stumble. Let me share some resources God has made available to you. Number one, the Word of God. Like newborn babes, love or crave for the pure spiritual milk that by it you may grow up into your salvation. I think it's interesting Peter says that because the very verse before that says, so put away, he said, put away these things. As a baby, one thing a baby has in common with all babies is they crave for milk. Amen? I'd love to see a newborn and that excitement of being fed. They crave. And may you and I crave the Word of God. It's good for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. The Word of God. Second resource God has given to you is the Holy Spirit. He said, be filled with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18. Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled. Do not allow that to control you, but allow the Holy Spirit to control you. Do not resist him. Do not quench him. Allow him to have ministry in your life. One day, Billy Graham and Ruth were traveling, and they came to a long stretch of construction. Have you ever had that experience? Miles and miles of construction on the highway. Detours and slowdowns and stops along the way. And finally, they reached the very end of that construction area. And there was a sign that said, end of construction. Thanks for your patience. And Ruth commented to her husband and said, what a fitting description that would be on my tombstone. And it is on her tombstone today. When we accept Jesus Christ, we begin a lifelong journey. I've often said, when I get to heaven, the first thing I'm going to do in heaven, and I don't know if this is true, but I've often said, the first thing I'm going to do when I get to heaven is, whew, I made it. You follow? You understand? It's a long journey. There's lots of bumps in the road. Lots of experiences I wish I didn't have, and that I will have in the future. We live in a world that's whatever and all kinds of things. And I'm convinced the first thing I'll do when I get to heaven, probably not, but whew, I'm home. I made it. And I think that's how probably Ruth Graham felt. End of construction. Is God changing you from one degree to another? Yes. Do you sometimes feel it's like taking two steps forward and one back? Perhaps. But press on. When we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, we begin a lifelong process of spiritual growth. The Holy Spirit works our hearts to remove our selfishness, Philippians 2:4. To renew our thinking, Romans 12:2. To develop qualities in us that are more and more like Jesus Christ, Colossians chapter 3, 5 through 14. And my advice to you and to myself is let's cooperate, amen, and let him continue the construction. There's a third resource that God has given to you. It's one that we often overlook, I think. Look around. Who do you see? The church, the household of God, the extended family. That's a resource that God has given to you. It says in Hebrews 10, 23 through 25, let us hold fast to the confession of hope without wavering. That's important, without wavering. And let's consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Not neglecting to meet together, as is a habit of some. Not going to church, not gathering together, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. When you see someone beginning not to attend, give them a phone call. Send them a card. The church is to be actively involved with one another. Amen? I love what it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, 9 and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. The individuals within the church are to be actively involved, not just in ministry, but in the life of one another. Amen? And you ought to get to know each other beyond the superficial level. One of the greatest resources God has given, along with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, is what you see right here. One another. And I think sometimes we don't realize that. Let's not neglect meeting together. And let's encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. The Christian life can be a long journey. But I always say to you as you travel, make sure you change your clothes regularly. Amen? Take off the old and put on the new. Take off the old and put on the new. Don't forget your BC. But take the Christian life seriously. And don't stumble along the way. Take off the old and put on the new. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, how deep is the love of God for each and every one, no matter what the history is of that individual. And we praise you and we give thanks for that truth. And we praise you and give thanks for that individually, what it means to us personally. How deep is your love for us. And yes, we're thankful for the church, but we're also thankful Paul talks about the individuals, Christian, within the church. And we don't like to talk about that much. We much rather talk about the church as a whole. But Father, both truths are important. Minister as only you can by your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.